Welcome to Chats with Susan Burrell, and that's me. I help strong, capable women who have pockets of self-doubt access their inner wisdom and clarify their own truth. Chats with Susan Burrell is where we have rich conversations about empowerment, radiating your brilliance out into the world, and loving yourself more than you ever have before. And who doesn't want that? So let's get started.
So welcome again to Chats with Susan Burrell. And I have my guest today, and we're giggling as we start, which I love this part. a fellow kindred spirit, Ali Soleil. She's a women's advocate and an empowerment coach. And she's living in the UK currently.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Ali, thanks for coming on today. And you also are a podcaster. You gave me the great gift. Before I ever started podcasting, of being on your podcast, which gave me the experience. So I wasn't quite so nervous about doing it myself. So I thank you for that.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast today. Really appreciate that.
So I just want to tell everybody this other thing that I think is so fabulous about you is you've got a Facebook group and, well, the podcast, first of all, everybody, the podcast is called The F Years, which always catches my attention because I know what the F years are, but Ali means it in a different way. You mean it in the fabulous years.
Yeah, fabulous. And also, it's really aimed at women who are over 40 and 50. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's F for 40, 50. So, yeah, and fabulous.
And fabulous. So let's talk a little bit about that, because before we started recording, we were talking about empowerment and how women give pieces of themselves away.
Absolutely.
To authority figures or to the male person in their lives, whether it's their father or their spouse or their boss. And we don't even know. Right.
Anybody.
And we don't even know that we're doing that.
No.
So from your work with women, so why do you think that is, that we do that? That we give pieces away?
That's a really good question. I think very often we've probably copied that. We've seen that behavior. We've seen our mothers do that. We've seen our friends do that. And I think that, you know, we live in a patriarchal society where, you know, men have always been, you know, in charge, you know, and women have taken a back seat. I was reading this morning about, it wasn't really that long ago in the UK that women weren't allowed to own properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women weren't allowed to vote. Women had to give up their jobs once they became married. I've actually got a little booklet here, which is about how to be a good wife, and it includes things like, before your husband comes home, make sure you brush your hair and put your lipstick on.
Oh my goodness.
And so it was never really about women embracing who they were and knowing that they were complete as they were. It was always about, this is an expectation of you, and this is how you need to be to fit in to society. So I think that, you know, women typically, you know, have grown. We are the product of our parents, and they're the product of their parents and before. So I think a lot of it is sort of, you know, it's something we've learned to do. It's something we've seen before. And I think it's an unconscious thing. I don't think we ever set out to think, yeah, I'll just kind of, you know, look up to you, put you on a pedestal and forget about myself. I think, or, you know, yeah, of course I'll pick up your clothes, or yeah, of course I'll drive the car tonight because you want to have a drink, or, you know, of course you get to say, you know, how we do whatever it is. I don't think it's a conscious thing. I think it's just something that kind of evolves over time. And I find the clients that I work with, it's a really big wake up call when I remind them that they can give themselves permission to be the woman that who they really are, put themselves on a pedestal, bring all the pieces back that, you know, they've kind of buried in themselves, of themselves, and, you know, be the leading lady, if you like, in their own lives.
Yeah, I have a quote. This is so, I love how this works. I have a quote from Abraham Hicks, and in it they say, the greatest gift that you could ever give to another is your own happiness. Mm. For when you are in a state of joy, happiness, or appreciation, you are fully connected to the stream of pure positive source energy that is truly who you are. And when you are in that state of connection, anything or anyone that you are holding as your object of attention benefits from your attention. So I had a great childhood, but it was definitely everything you're talking about, where my mom was a stay-at-home mom and my dad was in charge and my dad handled the money and my mom, you know, didn't know anything about that. And I remember growing up thinking, of course, I grew up in the 70s when the women's lib movement in America was full on. But so I was looking at those contrasts, you know, what I'm living with in my family of origin and what the potentiality really is for women. So when we don't have our own happiness or celebrate that, it becomes just where we're giving those pieces away. And like you said, it's unconscious, right? We didn't even know that we were doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I think we start to feel depleted, you know, tired. And I know that a lot of the women that I've worked with, and I'm pretty sure you will have experienced this too, Susan, with the clients that you work with, that, you know, they sort of come into coaching because they know that there's more to life. You know, they feel a bit fed up, they feel a bit frustrated, not quite necessarily quite sure why they feel that way. Sometimes they feel like they've given their power away to their children.
You know,
because their children have put demands on them and they've kind of, you know, given their power away. So the children speak back, or the children expect them to, you know, as I said before, like drive them about, or, you know, and I've had clients who've said to me, you know, sometimes I just feel like I'm a bit of a doormat, really. And I always feel like that's really sad. But, you know, I think it's acknowledging wherever you're at, wherever you feel that you are, well, let's move forward, you know, let's bring all those pieces back that are of you, as you've buried.
I have a personal experience of feeling like a doormat. My son, who's fabulous and 24, at the time that he was like 11 or 12, I threw a birthday party for him with his friends and, you know, toys and cake and I put effort into every birthday party for him. And at the end of the day, when things were done, he just treated me like a doormat. And I thought, you know what? And I told him, I said, this is it. I'm done. I'm done with your attitude. I said, I'm going on strike. And what that means, I'm explaining this to an 11 or 12 year old, what that means is I am not doing anything for you. You want to eat, go to the refrigerator. You want to get to school, ride your bike. You want to do something afterwards or help with your homework, too bad, because I'm on strike. And that's going to last at least 2 weeks. Done with you. So I went into my room and closed the door and started reading a novel. Who has time when you're a mom to do that, right? And it took my son 2 days. I said, I'm not making your bed. I'm not doing your laundry. You have to pick up after yourself, you know. My husband at the time was stunned, but I told him, I said, that's it. I am done being treated like crap. And about 2 or 3 days later, my son apologized, and mommy, I'm really sorry. I will make a better effort to appreciate you. And I had to do it because I had to create a boundary for myself. It was in reaction to him, but that boundary needed to happen for me.
It's really important. But I think we thrive when we have boundaries, when we know what, you know, we can have soft boundaries or firm boundaries. Firm boundaries are when you say to yourself, okay, so I am not going to be doing that, or I am going to be doing this. And it's an absolute definite. And to be able to communicate that to whoever needs to hear it, whether it's your partner, your children, your boss, your friends, or soft boundaries. I actually, one of my boundaries was, I've got a lovely friend, but when I used to go to her house, quite often the phone would ring, she'd answer the phone, and she would chat to the person on the phone. And I'd be sitting there thinking, hello, what about me? I've popped around to see you, and now you're having a conversation with somebody else. And I used to sit there and I used to feel really irritated. And then one day I did it, she was doing it, and I just got up and I said, okay, I'm going. You're obviously having a conversation with, you know, your friend or whoever. So I'm going to go because I'm not here for that. And she was like, oh, hang on a second. She said to her friend, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go. She put the phone down and she said, I'm really sorry. Was that kind of, you know, was that okay? And I said, no, it's not okay. It's not okay. Actually, if I've come round, then if you haven't got time to speak to me or see me, then you just let me know. But if I come around to see you, then kind of feels a bit rude for you to be talking to somebody else. And actually, she never did it ever again. So if her phone went whilst we were talking, then she would always say to the other person, oh, I'll call you back. But I haven't had that with anybody else. But it was just one of those things. And, you know, it was against... I think sometimes it's to do with our values, what we value. So if somebody crosses our values, then we know we need to put a boundary. We need to put a boundary in place. Otherwise, we're kind of giving ourselves away. We're giving our energy away. We're giving our power away. And we're just winding ourselves up, really. So I think values come into boundaries. And then soft boundaries, you know, are ones that where you can be flexible about something, where... You know, depends on the situation. So it's not always set in stone, but this is your preference. And I think it's really important to be able to, you know, communicate your boundaries so people know what they are, but also to hear other people's boundaries.
Well, I have a question for you because boundaries have always been a challenge for me. I didn't realize it until I got older, until I got into my effing years. And I still struggle with that because I didn't grow up seeing boundaries set. Do you know? How, what you just said a few minutes ago about it's when somebody, when you cross your sense of value, your own personal integrity, is that like a red flag to you that there's a boundary that needs to be set?
Yes, I think so. So for some people, for instance, you know, they get, you know, it might be to do with their time, you know, so they're working all, you know, they're getting up really early to work or, you know, working really late in the evenings and they start feeling really fed up because they've always seemed to be working and all the rest of it. And it's like, well, actually, how much do you value your time? Because if you value your time, then you need to put a boundary. You need to decide what time do you start and what time do you finish and what time do you have a break? You know, where does that need to be? And that could be a flexible boundary, you know, because there's sometimes when you've got deadlines or, you know, perhaps it doesn't suit you to have lunch at a certain time every day, but, you know, putting some firm boundaries in. So, yeah, I think also, so when you feel a bit wound up, if somebody does something that really winds you up, then it's quite possible that, you know, I mean, there are lots of reasons why it could be, but it could be that one of your values has been crossed. So it's to explore why. What would that value be? Maybe it's your time, maybe it's money, maybe, you know, it could be anything really.
Well, like your personal integrity of...
Personal integrity, absolutely.
One of the things...
Recently on the tennis player, Serena Williams, you know, she was she stood up to authority. I mean, I think it's a very controversial subject, but I think she felt her integrity had been crossed, which is why she was so mad. She wanted an apology because she was accused of taking coaching from her coach, and her coach admitted afterwards that he had been doing signals, but she said she hadn't seen them, and he said she hadn't looked. So I think the reason why she got so mad was because her value of integrity had been crossed. So she was wanting to say, you know, that's her bound, there's a boundary there, like, don't question my integrity, I didn't see the coaching. I think that's one of the reasons why she, you know, she really stood up for herself. So I think we can be triggered by all sorts of things.
I have a question for you, kind of along this line. For many women, as we are in our 40s and 50s, there is that whole perimenopausal, menopausal thing that occurs that mm-hmm. causes, at least for me, it caused me to question who I am now. Who am I now? My body's doing weird stuff. My mind is getting crazy because the hormones have shifted and mm-hmm. I can't control any of that, to a certain degree. And so I found myself reassessing my entire value system, discovering my lack of boundaries, realizing that I had devalued myself for many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
And so so it's almost like menopause for women is almost like a wake-up call.
Yes. It's a transition. It's a natural part of a woman's evolution. Mm-hmm. It's also something that a lot of women don't talk about menopause. A lot of women don't actually know what menopause is. A lot of women don't know what age menopause starts. So I think it's quite a confusing time because they don't know why they feel the way they do. So for instance, like hot flashes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not every woman experiences that, but she might sort of feel a bit confused, a bit foggy headed. Maybe she's not sleeping so well. She might have those sorts of symptoms, but not know that those are associated with menopause. And of course, menopause means the pausing, the stopping of menses, our periods. But before that, it's the perimenopausal stage. And so those symptoms that we say, oh, those are menopausal symptoms, actually we're often talking about the perimenopausal stage, which comes before. So, and the symptoms can still carry on for many years after the periods have stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, it's a time of transition for a woman. And I think for a lot of women, it's where they really do sort of, they might... I think a lot of women, once they get to this stage of life, can feel invisible. They perhaps don't feel so confident because I think that some of the symptoms of menopause and perimenopause can really affect a woman's confidence. Having the hot flashes and things like that when you're at work, if you're in a board meeting or if you're, even if you're just in a social situation, it can be really unpleasant. And so I think that it's a real turning point for women. And I know a lot of the women that I work with, and I'm sure it's the same for you, Susan, they get to this stage where they're kind of like the children are grown and now they're flying the nest or they've flown the nest. The life that I knew has changed, and all this new stuff is going on for me, all this hormonal stuff, and I'm changing and I keep catching the odd whisker that's growing out. Oh,
nobody tells you about that. Those skin hairs that show up and it's like, oh my, I have a couple of girlfriends. That's our, when we get together, it's like, all right, check it out. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, how long has that been there? I didn't know that was there. So, it's kind of like it's a time where a woman, I think, naturally reassesses her life and kind of does say, like, who am I now? Because my identity has really shifted because I'm not my role as a mom has changed. My children aren't here anymore. And now it's just me and my partner. Or for me, I was a single parent. So it was like, oh my gosh, it's now me just rattling around at home on my own. Like, there's nobody here. So I think it's, it's a time of great change for a woman.
Yeah, I feel that certainly in my experience and some of the women that I've worked with, there comes that reckoning of, or realization of, because I'm done with all that, the parenting and the child rearing, it's my turn. It's my turn. And then there has to be that investigation of, well, so if it's my turn, what do I want to do? Or who do I want to be? And it's interesting, Al, I have post-its all over my office. And There's one. I want you to think about this. It starts a sentence. I am a woman who. So how would you finish that sentence now with who you are and who you know yourself to be now? I am a woman who
has. I'm a woman who has endless possibilities. You know, one of the things that I always think is having the right to choose again. So I'm a woman who can choose again.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God, I got chills. That's really powerful. I'm going to use that. Can I? I am a woman who gets to choose again.
Yeah. And I'm a woman who can give myself permission to choose again.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, we might think we're set in stone, you know, oh, I have to do it this way, or, oh, yeah, no, I've always wanted to do that, but, well, I can't do that. You know, he won't let me do that, or the kids wouldn't like it if I did that, you know. I'd like to move over, you know, to a different part of the country, but perhaps it's like, hey, come on, this is your time. This is your time. Rise up. You can choose again. You get to choose. This is it.
Right, you know? And we can constantly make choices that are better than what we did in our 20s or 30s too. Mm-hmm. That's what choosing again signifies to me.
Yeah.
You know, that, and it's never too late to, like you said, you have infinite possibilities, never too late to explore those possibilities.
No, I've got a friend who always wanted to be a nurse. She's got, you know, 4 children. She didn't become a nurse. She's done all sorts of things. She's done office roles. She's been a landscape gardener. She's been a classroom assistant. She turned 50 and she thought, it's never gone away, this calling to be a nurse. And, you know, even though I'm probably going to find it a bit harder at 50 to be standing for hours on 12-hour shifts and that kind of thing, I'm going to do it because if I don't do it, I'm never going to know.
Right.
And that's what she retrained to become. And that's what she... Well, she'll still be in her training, but that's what she does. She's a nurse.
How fabulous. Think,
yes, go for it, girlfriend, because, you know, so many of us hold these dreams, but we don't give ourselves permission to go for it. We come up with all sorts of excuses and reasons why we can't, and that's just rubbish, you know? But, you know, a belief is just something we choose to believe. It doesn't mean it's true.
Mm-hmm. You know? Which is why you are a woman who can choose again.
Absolutely.
I love
and again
it.
And again and again and again
and again and again. So, Ali, tell everybody what your website is so they can investigate more of who you are and what you do.
Sure, thank you. So my website is alisoleil.com. So it's A-L-I and then my surname is Soleil, S-O-L-E-I-L.com. Come and check me out. I'm on social media. I've got the podcast, which Susan mentioned, which is the F Years podcast. You'll find that on iTunes, or you can find it actually on my website or thefyears.com. And I've got a Facebook group called Global Fab Friends, which is a friendship group, which is lovely. So we come together usually on a Friday to celebrate successes, share learnings, that kind of thing. And, yeah, it's just really just for friendship. Women from all around the world, which is lovely.
So everybody's sharing the conversation of what is going on in their fabulous years.
Yeah. How they're stepping up. And, you know, obviously not everything goes well for us the first time or the second time, but there's always a little juicy gem, but, you know, something we've learned from that. So we share those sorts of things as well. And, you know, we raise each other up, which I think is what we need in the sisterhood.
Absolutely.
We're all in this together.
And we always have been, but now we all get to have a voice about it, or we're choosing to have our voices heard, which I think is great. So I want to share with you and everybody else what it is I do. So I've created a Live Your Empowered Life journey. And I call it a journey because I've been through this myself, and I can only teach from what I intuitively know about what I've experienced. And so the journey is intuitively crafted because I'm an intuitive healer and a spiritual guide.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this journey to live your empowered life, I will teach you how to live a life of freedom own your own brilliance, your gifts that reside within you, and claim your opulence, the richness of your life, which is what Ali and I were talking about today. And so what I do is I help the individual recognize and then remove mental, emotional, and physical blocks. And I do that with energy work, because if we've lived a certain amount of time, if we've gotten to our F years, mm-hmm. there's energy systems that download in our body that keep us stuck. It's not just the thinking that rewinds us, but the energy systems. And then that helps the individual to develop a deeper awareness and a stronger foundation within themselves of greater self-love, self-respect, all of those things. So that's living your empowered life journey. And again, Ali Soleil, thanks for joining me. It's always such a pleasure to chat with you. You inspire me, and I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Yay.
Well, that wraps up our chat for today. Thanks for joining me. And if you want to learn more, go to susanburrell.com. You can contact me through the website. There's blogs for you to read. There are videos to watch. And remember, I am an intuitive healer and spiritual guide at the crossroads of life, and I would be more than honored to help you on your journey to live an empowered life. And so it is. Namaste.